This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Welcome back to the Sue Free Show, here to empower you every Saturday from 4 to 5 by developing the tools in your arsenal that propel you toward the success you and God have planned for yourself. You can do all things, not a few things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Are you in need of passion? How about purpose, connection, or even to find out more about who you are and why you're here? I really, really, really am looking forward to today because I have special guests with me today. Tiana Freeze is with us. Daniel Master Lart. Say your name, Daniel.
Master Leonardo.
I'll get that someday. And Roland Wiley. And, of course, me. And we today are going to talk about an interesting subject. It's a tough subject, but if we learn it and it's a lifelong journey, humility and pride, those are the issues that we're going to be facing and talking about today. Why are those important? Well, we'll get into that. A little background. I was in an airport recently, and I didn't have anything to read, and it was going to be a long trip. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Because I like to do something. I like to have something that I'm accomplishing or doing. I'm just a do-it kind of person. So in that, I went into the book section to get a book. And I found this book that I really like because I own a business. And I have employees. And with employees and with people, there is a thing called relationships. And the book that I found that kind of just screamed by me was How to Run Your Business by the Book, A Biblical Blueprint to Bless Your Business. And, you know, not all of us are business owners. I know that. But all of us do have relationships or strive to have relationships. And sometimes we fall short. And for whatever reason, we try to hopefully evaluate what the situation is and figure out what the issue is so that we can work on ourselves first, hopefully, not point the finger in the other direction, but to work on ourselves first. And a lot of the times when we look at ourselves in the mirror and take a look at that person or that personality, we find that pride or ego or a lack of humility or selfishness is involved whenever there's an issue where there's not harmony. So we're going to get into that a little bit. And in this book, I'm going to refer to the book just because this book is really doing a lot for me in reading it. And I wanted to share it with you because I care about you. You know, when the discussion for this show came about, I was like, wow, I never in a million years thought I would be hosting a show on the radio. And it is a huge, huge responsibility. And I don't take that lightly because my vision or what I see is people that are listening on the radio, either driving or in their homes. And I picture the person that's hurting. I picture people that are hurting. And I want to somehow, well, I want the Lord, through me, to help hurting people find hope. And this show is about finding hope or letting you know that you're not alone. You're not alone to go through this life alone. And life is a journey. Relationships are a journey. And we should always be searching and longing to learn. And if we have that type of heart, we're going to be better people. And hopefully we can be there for others as time goes on. So the first little line on this book that I wanted to read is, being humble brings you peace, growth, attracts others to you, and opens you up to receive God's greater blessings, mercy, and grace in your business and personal life as well. So just understand that I know this book is talking about business, but we have relationships, and running a business is a relationship. Running a business to me is a ministry. And we all are called ministers. If we are believers, we need to minister to one another. So don't tune out if you don't own a business, because you will learn from this episode that we are discussing. Incidentally, there are only 5 places in the entire book where a good or positive pride is mentioned, and it gives the scriptures where they are in scripture. In these cases, the words refer to being satisfied with some aspect of your life or another person. They are not used to promote comparison, but a humble appreciation and sense of gratitude. Part of this book says, by the book Blessing, is, as a sin, pride is unique because, whereas other sins separate you from God, pride causes you to attack God. Now, I'd never thought about it like that. Your independence, selfishness, and self-reliance attempt to dethrone him and enthrone yourself as your own God. Interesting. Then it goes on to say, the dirty dozen, causes of management failure. Now, you guys can chime in anytime you like, okay? Just raise your hand because there's four of us. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. The dirty dozen, causes of management failure. Failing to build a team and becoming overwhelmed. That's number one. Pride causes you to become too dependent upon yourself. Never delegating, refusing to empower others, and solving every problem, making all decisions personally until you reach a point of exhaustion and ineffectiveness. Failing to build a team, the arrogance of micromanagement because pride wants to control people, whereas humility wants to serve them. That's interesting. I can learn from that. Perpetual plateau as a result of becoming unteachable. Pride causes you to become comfortable with your current skill and knowledge level and turn into a know-it-all. Have you ever met a know-it-all? I know some know-it-alls. It's not very fun to be around a know-it-all.
No, because they don't really want more instruction because they have everything straightened out and they
know
already
it
have
all.
It.
They know it all.
Yeah, there's no reason to tell them anything else.
Right.
Because they already know it.
And that's like a roadblock, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're not. It doesn't help you to learn or develop further in your walk, whether it's your spiritual walk or your even in your personal relationships. If you think you already know it, then you're blocking a relationship that could really be something better.
Now, this is Roland talking, and I would say that what you are saying then is teachability.
Yeah.
Is that a form of humility?
It is. I mean, that's something when, before working in radio, I taught high school. And what I would tell my students is making sure that we have a teachable spirit. And that was always the first thing I said to my class. I said, make sure that you have a teachable spirit, because if not, you're not going to be learning while you're in the class. You're just going to be here, but you're not going to really enjoy what's there in the class.
Have you ever asked a person, you know, like if they were in a relationship or whatnot, what are the most important things with the person that you would want to be with, you know, to have a relationship? What would be the most important things that you would want in that person? Have you ever asked people that, like what they look for?
No, but I know that some of the responses I've heard from others in that same discussion, they talk about listening. And that's a key thing in a relationship. If you're not listening to the other person, you're really missing out on your relationship altogether. Otherwise, you could be by yourself at that point.
For all those listening right now, I always say that you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. We should be listening twice as much as we talk. How about you, Daniel? Is there something that you think you look for in a person when, you know, you want to have a relationship with them? What do you think is important?
Well, I've actually received a lot of counsel from my own parents and just from other elders in my life that I really just value their opinion, just as far as their understanding of Scripture and their own personal walk with God. And they've always cautioned me, you know, you really want to make sure that, you know, this is a very important decision. Anytime you ever pursue a relationship, as being a man, being a leader, you have to, you know, understand your responsibilities in that. And in looking for kind of a suitable helper, if you will, or pursuing that process, two qualities, or three, if you will. One is just their personal relationship with God has to be first and foremost, because if that is off, then your entire worldview is off, your entire perception, if you will, and how you look at every single situation in life, even your own emotions, who you are, is going to be completely out of line. And so that's first and foremost. Just, does this person know who God is? Do they have a personal relationship with them in the Scriptures? And are they living that out on a daily, consecutive basis? And then other than that is just what you said, humility and teachability. And teachability is a form of humility. Just a humility I heard defined one time as knowing your place. And when we know who God is, Proverbs talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And just to truly understand our place before God, to be humble and recognize there is, who am I before God? Who am I? This is the Creator, the one that even allows my heart to beat. He is the one that is in control of all things. Therefore, may He instruct me, and not, you know, anytime anyone has ever been puffed up. You know, I love the way that God teaches Job in the last chapters of that fantastic book, is just asking him, can you please instruct me? Can you please tell me how I did these things? You know, are you the one that laid the foundations of the earth or told the waves where to stop? And I just think any time we think we are something when we are nothing, we deceive ourselves, as Galatians tells us. And so I just think that's such a vital aspect. And I remember telling a few people just, You know, when if you're pursuing somebody and you're with somebody that is humble, able to recognize sin, or able to recognize areas to grow, and Proverbs, the first couple chapters, tells us, like, the pursuit of wisdom is just a benefit to you, you know, and that wisdom calls out to the streets, not having it or, you know, having accomplished it, but constantly pursuing it and constantly acquiring this. It's going to allow you to see sin and to grow. You're not going to be stale, if you will. And so with that, there's nothing that you're going to be able to encounter that you're not going to be able to work through, because you're both always working on yourself already, and it just becomes a teaching process instead of a conflict, if you will.
So what you said was that you want to know that the person would have a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, as it says in the Bible, you know, seek ye first. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's what you're saying there. And then you're saying that having a teachable spirit and humility.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Of course, yes.
Okay. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we have three guests with us, Tiana Fries, Daniel Mastro-Leonardo.
Good job.
I did that well. And Roland Wiley. It's going to take a while. Yeah. It's such a beautiful artistic name. That's all I can say. Anyway, getting back to this book, because we'll be flipping around a little bit. But high turnover within the department. The number one reason followers leave an organization is to escape a bad manager. And that would be anything, in, you know, with any relationship. You know, if somebody is not accepting their role, then people are going to not want to be near there. They will want to go somewhere else. Low morale due to lack of positive reinforcement. How important is positive reinforcement in any relationship?
Just wanted to follow up on what Daniel was talking
okay.
about. Most of the time, when we are proud, we don't know that we are proud. And that's one of the forms of self-deception. And the scripture that I just thought of was in James 1, and it starts in 1:19. And it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." And what's talking about that is if we are not in the word of God, we don't know that we're deceived, and we can continue on pridefully just thinking that we're doing things correctly. But this is talking about how this is the lamp to our feet and the light unto our path, but it's also the mirror that we need to be looking in to see ourselves correctly, because we are deceived. So then it continues, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If any man thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." And so I just thought that was just an important point to remember, that we go along when we are not in the word of God, we are proud. And it is the word of God, as we read it, that exposes the things that need to change in our lives. And if we are not in God's word, we think that we are better than we are. And that pride comes before the fall. And God gives grace to the humble.
There's an acronym for grace that I just love, and I always remember it. And it's God's riches at Christ's expense. I just love that. Thank you, Tiana, for sharing that. So getting back to this book, it talks about distrust from employees because of character issues like failing to admit mistakes, which is one of the things that go along with humility, because sometimes people are just too proud to say that they might have done something wrong, and they won't admit that they did something wrong. And when a leader or someone in charge or has been put in a position of responsibility or authority, and that person's not willing to take a look or admit that they might have made a wrong choice, and we are making choices every second of every day, and we need to make the right decisions, and sometimes we think we are, when maybe it might not be the best, but to be able to have the humility to say, you know what, I made a mistake here, I have found in my business that there has been times where I thought I made the right decision, and then, you know, with an employee or something, and then there'll be other employees that come to me and say, you know what, there's part of this picture or part of this puzzle that you might not know. Let me share that with you. And that changes the whole picture. And normally, you know, you want to get all your information before you make a decision, because that's really key to anything. And usually there's 2 to 3 sides to every story. But you want to get all those sides before you make a decision. But if you make a decision and the decision is not correct, or you don't have all the information, to feel that humility to say, I am sorry, I made a bad decision, and I'm going to fix that, I'm going to change it now, I have found that my leadership was enhanced by that. You know, and I think all people struggle with this, but I think that men have a more difficult time. It's almost like asking for directions. It's difficult for them to admit that maybe they can have a weak moment, you know? You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we are talking about pride. We are talking about humility, and we have some guests with us today that are very special to me. We have Tiana Fries, hence the same last name. We have Daniel Master Leonardo. Did I do better?
Very good.
Phew. And Roland Wiley.
Yeah, hello.
Who is actually my engineer for my show. And today we are just having a wonderful conversation about humility and pride.
Yes. And Sue, what you were talking about, especially with men, I think the thing is that if we know we've made a mistake, I'd say at times we tend to feel like that's almost a sign of weakness, that we have to say, I'm sorry. And it's very strange, because it's not that it's not a large phrase. It's just saying, I'm sorry. But sometimes in the minds of men, and some women sometimes don't know, but it's really a difficult thing to admit that fault. And especially, I would say, for men, speaking on behalf of men, it's that there is that sign of vulnerability, because we've been kind of ingrained that, you know what, you just do what you have to do, you get it done, and you think about the consequences afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, we can't do that. We can't, because there are people whose feelings are being hurt, or things that could be better done or executed. And we have to really take that humble approach and realize, you know what, that wasn't okay. And
right.
I need to acknowledge that I did that incorrectly, and come to the person and just say, you know what, I'm sorry. And it doesn't have to be a drawn out thing, but it's really just pulling the person aside and just talking to them one-on-one. Or if it's in a business, sometimes you need to talk to all the people in the business and say, mm-hmm. you know what, we need to have a meeting. I'm really sorry about this.
Right.
And really actually asking for them to forgive you, which is key. And also asking, well, how can I make it right?
And I just thought of just how the whole reason for humility is we are called to be like Christ. And for men, they're to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So they are that's in humility and sacrifice and service. And so I just thought of Philippians 2, and it starting in verse 3. This just provides the reason for being humble. And it's because Jesus was humble, and he was so concerned about doing the will of his Father. And it says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so I'm just thinking about how if Jesus is God, who is in heaven and has just every reason to just be proud and just know he is the best, he is the ultimate, he is sufficient, he is all these things, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If he emptied himself and became flesh, how could we for one second think that we don't need to?
Very good point, Tiana. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. That was the exact scripture that I had at the end of this whole thing. It's right here, Tiana. That's like so great. We're so on check here. It's wonderful. So getting back to this book, it says unwillingness to listen to others or involve them in decision-making processes. And I think sometimes even in the household where you have the man as the leader, it's important for the man to take into consideration what the wife's thoughts and feelings are. And there's been times in my own personal marriage where I felt like, you know, the man wanted to make the decision, but yet he didn't take into account or even ask how I felt, what I thought. And those were the times that I felt this, you know, a lack of value, a lack of concern at that moment in time. Working through that, obviously, we grew from that. But I'm just saying that those are times when, you know, even though the husband is the leader of the house and he needs the final decision, he's like the corporate. In a corporate setting, you have a board of directors. There's also got to be, there's always has to be a final say. You can't have two people because if they don't agree, then what? So you have to have a final say, and the final say, according to God, is the man of the house. He has to have the final say. But in that, just like the board of directors, you want to take into consideration the other people's thoughts, feelings, ideas, and whatnot, so that the conclusion is going to be something. I know from personal experience, I want to have things be a win-win. If I can make things a win-win, everybody buys in and everybody is happy. Now, if I could make everybody happy all the time, that would be the world I would want to live in. But that's just not reality. Reality is there's got to be the person who makes a final decision, and it might not be a happy decision for somebody in the room, whether it's the wife, the child, the board of directors. There's going to be times where the decision that needs to be made is going to be a tough one, but it's the right one. And that's hard. That's hard. But if that person who's making that decision can seek the Lord, show humility, ask the questions instead of just making the decision on their own, then there is a form of humility there. So you are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Failing to seek out feedback and make behavioral adjustments. See, that's really important. How many of you listening have asked the question, if you could change one thing in me, if you, because you know me, and you experience my relation, my personality, if there was one thing, how many of you have asked somebody that question, or a multitude of people, your friends, your family, if you could have me work on one thing, what would that one thing be? I challenge each one listening to do that. And you know what? It's okay. Whatever anybody says, it's okay. Because you can choose whether you're going to want to work on that or not. Maybe you like being that type of person. Maybe you like that trait is there. Maybe you like that. But if you don't, or if you didn't even know that you had that, if it was like really, oh my gosh, really? You guys see that in me? Wow. You know, in Psalms 139, it says, search me and know me, O God. If there's any evil way, take it out. Well, how does he do that? He can show us in many different ways. When you have altercations with people, it's a time to assess you. What part are you playing in the situation? What part are you contributing to? And take that moment to ask the Lord, reveal it to me, make me aware of it so that I can work on it. And Lord, please work with me. Help me fix this. Help me be better. Help me be a better person so that I can glorify you in all that I say, all that I do. Help me be the person that you made me to be, that you created me for. Help me to fulfill that purpose that you created me for. Help me do that. Because we don't want anything to hinder that. I know I don't. How about you, Tiana? Mm-mm. Daniel, you have anything to add? Putting you on the spot. Sorry about that, buddy.
No, it's, ew. But what you just said, Sue, is so important, because out of all of that, it's really asking the Lord to open your heart to receive that. Because if your heart is hard, it's very hard for you to be receptive to that type of, I would say, feedback. Because some people say when it's criticism, oh, I don't want to hear criticism. But it's not really about it being critical. It's more about making us better, making the relationship better, your business better. And it's all really ultimately for his glory. It's not about us. It's really about building something better.
Yeah, I think the scripture shared of just, you know, seek me, God, and search me out, is a sense of submission and of humility, of just entreating God to come into our lives and to truly bring out that sin just in our own actions. But I also think that he's given us very practical, beyond prayer, which I'm very thankful for, just the grace alone, being able to communicate with God. I think a lot of us take that for granted or don't understand the all that's encompassed within that. But we have scripture, Tiana shared earlier, just the James verse, where it talks about, in that same book, talks about the Bible being that mirror that reveals to us ourselves. And as we read this, we're seeing our spiritual life And not only that, but in regards to this book and being a business owner, or even in money in general, money is another avenue where you can kind of see your heart in the way you manage it, the way you handle your money. You can see your selfishness, you can see your pride, or your generosity, your relationship with other people. Are you quick to anger? Are you slow to anger? Everything in life can be a teaching experience if we allow it to be. Everything, if we're constantly learning to grow, if we're constantly seeking out the Lord to open our eyes to these things, He'll slowly show us more and more just all these areas of our heart so that we can change it. And the only way we can change that is by the Holy Spirit. I hear a lot of opposition sometimes of just, you know, you can't change people, Daniel. And likewise, I can't change someone else. But even some people say, well, I can't change myself. It's just who I am, and you have to accept it. And that's just not true in any way, shape, or form. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you know, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you ask me, it's a big transformation right there. And then further in Scripture, it talks about do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, literally metamorphosis, being a whole new creation, much like a caterpillar into a butterfly, literally brand new. And so we have this power of the Holy Spirit to master sin, to recognize sin, and to kill it. And when Jesus said that prayer, you know, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth now as it is in heaven, not when He comes back to reign, but that we can literally become these new creations here on earth in order to bring His kingdom today. So I think that's an accurate way we can start pursuing that.
Very good, Daniel. Thank you so much. There's a scripture in Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's what we need to do, is do just that. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites. Every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we are back, and we are going to continue on with our discussion about pride and humility. And we're going to wind this up. We're going to wind it up with the pride issue, and we're going to go into the humility issue more. And with this, I'm going to read what it says here. I like this. It says, pride is foolish because it is a trait of evil and not righteousness. Pride clearly reveals your heart condition and the bankruptcy of your spiritual life. Pride is foolish because Christ was humble, and you must conform to His image. And it says, connect Romans 8:29 with Mark 10:45, and you'll gain a clear picture that as leaders, we are to imitate Christ and His humility. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. That's Romans 8:29. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. When I come into work, I know that I am there. I'm a servant. I empty trash. I vacuum carpets. I ask, does anybody need anything right now? Why? Because I'm a servant. I'm a servant at heart. And I feel that no job is too big, too small, too low, too high for me. I do anything that's necessary to get the job done. Why? Because we are all here together to get it done. And that's, we're here all here together to get God's work done also. And we're all part of the body. We have a position and a responsibility, and He's put us in a certain role, and we need to fulfill that role. To truly understand what it means to forsake pride and live humbly, you must study the life of Christ. In the one and only biblical passage where Jesus describes His own character traits, He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I said that before, and I say it again because I think it's a wonderful scripture. So now we're going to move into humility. And 8 ways to cultivate humility, and here they are. Know that you are not superior to anyone else. Wow, that's huge in itself. But we're not superior. We're all here. I tell people, you know, I'm just like you. I put my pants on one leg at a time. And it's true. We're all the same in this world. We all have a job to do, and we need to do that. In Luke, it talks about where much is given, much is required. That is true also. But we all have a job to do. It says here that if you feel superior to anyone else, the next time you're ready to judge someone or feel superior to them in some way, embrace the attitude of the of Luke 8:13, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Reciting this verse has a supernatural ability to humble you before God and men. Number two is, do not be obnoxious in appearance or behavior. The three things you should most heavily depend upon to bring you attention in the workplace are not your clothes, your jewelry, or hairstyle, but your character, competence, and consistency. In fact, those who lack these qualities often resort to other attention-getting diversions to shift attention away from their defective performance and onto some other aspect of their life. Do not be assuming. Proverbs 26, 6 through 7 warns, do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than you should be put lower in the presence of the prince. Do not be scornful or contentious. Here's Numbers 12 gives a telling illustration of God's promise to scorn the scornful and give grace to the humble, as Moses' own sister and brother became jealous of his leadership. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Don't always insist on having your way. Do you know anybody that does that? That always insists on having their way?
No, none. I don't know anyone.
What world do you live in?
No.
Humble people are inflexible in nothing except their values. Being stubborn and willful by insisting on having your way is a surefire sign of pride. Maintaining flexibility and giving others a chance to make decisions, employ their ideas, solve their own problems, and have their way builds a wall of humility around you that will be difficult for pride to penetrate. In the words of Jonathan Edwards, nothing puts one so far out of the devil's reach as humility.
That's an amazing point. I've been going through a study of Genesis, and I've been fascinated with how Genesis honestly covers everything that we struggle with, especially the core root of our sin in our heart, and even the fall of Satan was that number one sin, the sewage pipe, if you will, that all sin flows through, pride. Pride is basically wanting to be like God. When Adam and Eve took the fruit, it literally said, like, they could be like God. That was Satan, one of seven, his I wills, is I will take on his throne, is I want to become God. And that, even that action of being stubborn and being insistent on your own ways is literally saying, I am king and I am on the throne and everything I say goes. But that actually has a huge implication in our relationship to God. And that's why there's so much, if you will, hostility there. And even Satan's foothold into our life is just that pride and that stubbornness, or that unrelenting and that lack of teachability, that lack of humility of will, of recognizing that we do need to come under God and not become God. But even if something in feeling like our discernment is best, or when we lean on our own understanding, we're literally saying, whether or not you actually consciously think, well, I don't try to be God. I remember the first time I heard that concept, I thought it was just ridiculous. I was like, who wants to be God? No one would actually say that. But any time you make a discernment of, well, this is right and this is wrong, well, whose authority is that? That's completely God's authority, right? Not our own. Or when you hear, like, oh, I can't believe in a God that does this, or I can't believe, you know, that this is right or this is wrong. It's just like we are assuming the authority of that we properly know right and wrong, but we need to understand that our whole physical makeup is fallen, and that we have an askewed perception. And that's why this Bible, God's word, is so important. And just the integrity of this is just phenomenal, something that we can look unto. So, okay, well, God knows that we have a finite understanding, and that God knows that from the beginning of the fall, we are going to constantly be trying to figure out right and wrong and be unable to do so. So he has, by his grace, given us something, his law, if you will, to teach us right and wrong, and to teach us, look, you know, you do need to understand that we do not have it all under control. If you can't already tell from your life, because I know there's many times where there's been, you know, situations where I've, you know, maybe I don't grasp all these things properly. So
you're listening to the Sue Free Show on your flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And that was Daniel Master Leonardo talking right there. And this young man has so much wisdom for his small amount of time being on this earth. It's amazing to hear him talk. And Tiana Fries, Same thing. These two are young. They have a zeal for the Lord, and it's wonderful to have them on the radio, although they feel it's such a responsibility, as I do, that you want to make sure that what you're saying is from God's mouth, that it's His words, not ours. And they don't take that lightly. And for that, I am so grateful to have them on the air, along with Roland Wiley, who is my engineer for the show. And it's wonderful that we can have this dialogue and talk about these things, because it's so important to our life here on this earth to live the life that Christ would want us to live.
Sue?
Yes.
Yeah, before you go on, just really touching base on what Daniel said, when you stumbled on it, it's Proverbs 3, 5, verse Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Trust in
the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Right.
And acknowledge in all his ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. That, I would say, is the critical, that first line, trust.
Trust in the Lord.
And that's the thing. When you have to say trust and lean not on your own understanding, that's where the humility starts. It's right there. Because if we're not trusting in him, then, like you said, Daniel, whose authority are we going with? We're not going with his. We're thinking, oh, well, we know better because we... For some reason, we know it all, and we don't.
Completely. Yeah. And it's just saying that, God, you are who you are. Our trust, another word for that, faith.
Right.
What is faith? Trust. God, you are who you are. When it says, be still and know that I am God, it's literally being still and recognizing, God, you are loving. God, you are true. You are compassionate. You are the sustainer, all-powerful. You have everything in your hands. Nothing is out of control. There is no reason to be anxious or discontent, because we're recognizing that God is in control. So therefore, we don't have to worry about an outcome, because it's already taken care of by our Lord.
Right.
And so with that, it's impossible to please God outside of faith. And because we're just basically saying, anytime we're discontent or anxious, we're literally saying this is a lie. I don't obviously believe right now that God is in control. And we need to look at that as that, and not just, oh, well, you know, it's just I have a disorder and I get anxious. It's no, you don't trust God and you need to trust him.
Right. So. And we have to refuse that lie.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you brought up that scripture, because my mother-in-law, who's my number one fan, she's always listening to the show. Mm-hmm. I just love her so dearly, and I know she's listening now, and I just love her. I love you so much, Mom. Anyway, she just turned 80, and I asked her the question. I said, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? And this woman goes to church every day. Mm-hmm. To have her as a prayer warrior over your life is a biggest blessing you could ask for. And she prays for my family every day. And I just feel her presence. I feel her prayer, you know, over our family. And it's just the most wonderful thing. But her favorite verse is exactly Proverbs 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is what she said. Mm-hmm. And so you bringing that up, it's like, it's so neat, because it is. It's a very special verse, because it's key.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult to be a human and to trust, because there are people on this earth that let us down and we get hurt because we have trusted. Whether it's a father, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a brother, a friend. Somewhere along the lines in any one of our lives, there's been somebody that we put our heart on or we trusted, and they let us down. And that is not the same as God, because God won't let us down. He lets things happen to us. He doesn't make them happen to us. And I think that's key, because there's people out there saying, God, why are you punishing me? He lets things happen. He allows them to happen. Why? I don't have the answer. My dad died of cancer. I don't know why. I don't. You know, being sexually molested, being raped. I don't know why. It just happened, because people have freedom of choice. So don't have all the answers. But I trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I know that he's there for me, and he's there for you, listeners. He's there for you no matter where you are, no matter where you are in your situation. And here's the lie of the devil. The lie of the devil is going to tell you that you are unworthy. He's going to tell you that you don't fit in, that you need to stay isolated. You need to stay where you are because you are not worthy. And I'm here to tell you that I rebuke that in Jesus' name, that you are worthy. You are worthy because the Lord died for you. And if you were the only person on this earth, he died for you because he loves you that much. And when you can really let that sink in truly to your inner spirit, you're going to know that that is truth. That the truth is that you are worthy because God says you are. And so with that, when you feel that, you know, even I'm going to tell you right now that even if you don't believe it, say it out loud. God died for me and I'm worthy. Say it out loud right now. I am worthy. I'm worthy to receive God's love. And then I want you just to look up. Just look up. And you know what? God's right there. And he's probably got a tear and it's got your name on it. And he wants you. He wants you so bad. And he wants you just to reach up to him. And I want you to do that because he's there for you. He's there all the time. And I don't know where that came from, but there was somebody right then and there that needed to hear that. And so I just want you to know that God loves you. He wants you so, so bad. Reach up and say the words out loud. Just say it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Mm-hmm. Jesus' name, thank you.
Amen.
Amen. So getting back to this, submit to authority. I'm a boss, and I'm not saying this because I'm a boss, but it says, yes, this means your boss. Even if you don't care for him or her and your government, even if you didn't vote for who was in office, consider that even though he tried to kill David, David mourned the death of Saul and put to death a man who had killed God's anointed. The next thing is, here is, 7 says, seek out and be open to biblical instruction, reproof, rebuke, and constructive criticism. Seek out, meaning ask, like I was saying before. I wrote next to it in bold letters, teachable, be teachable. And how you know, sometimes we're blinded. We're blinded because, you know, I've said this too, is, you know, I don't see the forest for the trees because I'm so close to the issue, I can't even see the answer. And the answer's probably right there, but I don't see it. So I ask for people to help me. Here's my situation. And that takes vulnerability, doesn't it? Because supposedly the boss has all the answers. The leader has all the answers, like pastors. You know, they're kind of isolated because they're supposed to be the ones that have all the answers. But you know what? We all have to work together, and God has the answer. And right here next to us, we have to ask the question, okay, here's the situation. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And we have to be ready and willing with humility to receive whatever is brought to us. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Revelations 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. Can you believe it says stupid in the Bible? Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. And that goes along with the people that, you know, they say, oh, it's not me, or they blame somebody else for whatever the situation is, instead of just saying, you know what, what part am I playing in this picture? What part is mine? What part do I have to own? And then we can do something about it. The first part in anything is identifying the problem. You have to identify the problem, and then there's multiple solutions. And I always tell my employees, you know, don't come to me with a problem. Don't come to me with a problem unless you've thought out at least one solution. Come to me with a problem with a possible solution. Might not be the right one, but at least show me that you cared enough to think about it. You know, because why should that all be on me? It shouldn't.
That reminds me of a scripture. It makes me think of God disciplines the ones he loves. And it's true. It's that as a parent or as a boss or a friend, when we provide correction, that's the key thing. We're providing correction. It's that we don't want to see you go through that process again and be hurt. It's that we want to see you get so much better in your life. I'm married and have kids, and I mean, yeah, it grieves my heart heavily when I see my kids make poorer choices. But at the same time, there's nothing more that makes me happier to say, you know what, I want the best for you, and I'm telling you this because I care. Now, if I didn't care, I am failing my responsibilities as a parent. I can't do that. I can't just sit there and say, oh well. No, that's not our responsibilities as parents or as husband and wives. I can't sit there and have my wife going through something that's causing her pain and say, oh, well, that's okay. No, we have a responsibility to make sure everyone's taken care of.
In the manner in which we do that is important.
Definitely.
Right?
Very important.
Because we can come on very strong.
Yes.
And almost judgmental.
Right.
Instead of saying, I love you enough that I want to share this with you. This is something I've observed. And it's all in the manner in which we deliver.
Yes.
I find that people are more willing to receive what I have in the manner in which I say it.
Right.
Tiana, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was just going to address just anybody that's not feeling worthy, because people can be told, you know, you're worthy to receive God's love. You're worthy and you're worthy and worthy. And I just don't want anybody to think that their worthiness comes from themselves, because none of our worth comes from us. No. And just that Romans 5 verse 6 just says, while we were still helpless, so that doesn't mean we find our worth or our value, you know, in helping ourselves. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So that has nothing to do with the works that you bring. That has nothing to do with the lifestyle that you have right now or the things that you've done correctly. And it says, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. So then God just gives us this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, so it's not when we have everything figured out, it's not because Amen. Of anything that we bring to the table,
right.
It says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
So that's something that's so important. That truth is so important with We are not supposed to boast in the things that we do, and this is so key to humility, is our pride, that the only thing that we are called to boast in is Christ alone and what he has done upon the cross. That when God says that he loves us, it's not because we're lovable. It's because he just decides to. It has nothing to do with anything that I've done. It's not because I've lived a perfect life, and it's not dependent upon just the things that have happened to me or anything that I have brought to the table. It's he just chose to. And that's what I come confidently to the throne of grace with, is his love, that I have a sympathetic high priest that loves me and that has become flesh and has experienced the temptations and all these things on earth that I experience. And so I can confidently go to the throne of grace and receive mercy. And that's why I'm worth it, is because of him. My worth comes from Christ. I don't have worth on my own, but he has all the worth that I need to approach the throne of grace to my Heavenly Father.
And that's where our hope, our everlasting hope, is rested in. When I came to Christ, it was literally a broken down moment of recognizing sin. God, take me as I am. And then now, like Martin Luther calls it, the great exchange, that realization that we were imperfect and Christ was perfect, and Christ exchanged his perfectness for our imperfect, and he became our sin on that cross to pay the penalty so that we can come before this Father, as Tiana was saying. And this is an eternal, everlasting hope. And that hope is what brings that deep down joy, even in the midst of trials, or when we do fail and we realize, oh, wait, I am not worthy again. We go right back to that cross like, I was never worthy. Praise God that you love me anyway. And that's where all this joy comes from. It's not, that there was this big push for self-esteem. And it actually showed, as research found, that it actually depressed people more because everyone thought they were good. So they just stopped trying. Like, well, I'm already good. So right. Why try harder? And that is the case. So you are worthy in Christ, but I don't even practice this of saying that, like, I'm worthy. I actually practice in saying I'm not worthy so I can recognize who I am. Amen. And so that I can give God more glory and give him more praise and more hope in that. Because when I start, it's too easy. My natural inclination in my own sinful heart is to revert to me saying, oh, I can do this and I can do this. I have to remind myself of the cross. I have to remind myself, get in the Word, get in prayer, get with this Creator that loves me, and to constantly remind myself of the love that he's poured out, and to thank him and to walk redeemed, to wake up every day, which is filled with that Spirit and that presence of just today is the same as yesterday, and it's about grace. It's never about when I was, like, to think that I ever have an ability to come before God's throne on my own strength, like, oh, it's been a week since I've struggled in a specific sin. Okay, well, I have no right to come before God now than I did a week ago, because it's all by the Holy Spirit. So every moment, every day, I'm able to walk with the same consistent, everlasting joy and hope in that.
You're listening to the Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. So I guess what we're saying is I don't want there to be any misunderstanding either. And so in my humility, I don't think was understood correctly, is just that there are times when the devil will lie to us and make us feel like we can't do anything right, or that somehow we're not even at a place where God would even want us or desire us or, any of that. And I was at that place at one time, and it took a very kind, non-judgmental man in a very loving and safe environment to make me realize that I did not have to listen to the devil anymore, and that the devil was telling me that I was unworthy, that I was nothing, that I didn't amount to anything. And that was his way of trying to destroy me. And what God created me for was maybe even to be on the radio to talk to one individual. And maybe that individual is you. And what I'm trying to say is that don't listen to the devil anymore. That God died for you. And in that, you are worthy because he died for you. I don't want you to think that you're not worthy because you were created in his image, not the devil's. And that you are worthy to receive his love. And it is such an amazing place to be. And I can remember when I realized that I, in asking God to forgive me for all that I had done and every thought that I had, because he knew every thought before I even thought it. He knew every hair on my head before it was even there. When I was still in my mom's womb, he knew me and he knows you. And what I'm saying is that he wants you to be his child, and all you need to do is ask him. And you don't have to get it all together first. You don't have to have it, because you'll never get there. You'll never have it all together. I have people saying, well, I want to stop drinking before I receive the Lord. Or, I got to stop cussing before I receive the Lord. Or, all these things. And I'm saying, no. He wants you right here, right now. And now's the time, you know. So all I'm saying is that you are worthy because he did die for you, and that you don't need to accept the lie of the devil. And that's the only point. And yes, as we grow and we learn more, yeah, we're sinners and we're going to fail. We're going to fail every day. But that's okay. We strive for better. We strive to walk like Jesus. We want to walk and be glorifying to him in everything we say and everything we do. But he also knows we're going to fall short. And that doesn't make us, you know, it doesn't make us not lovable to him, because he's going to love us regardless because of his grace. So I guess that's the point I'm going to make. And getting back to this, it says, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored, Proverbs 13:18. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. The next one is learn to receive. Cultivating humility is more than giving. It is setting your pride aside so that you may also receive. Many Christians are eager to do for others, but have a difficult time letting someone return the favor. It's like when someone gives you a compliment and you have a hard time just saying thank you. Oh, no, no, you know, that's not true. Just say thank you. Just say thank you when somebody gives you a compliment. So, you're laughing, Roland.
The reason why I'm laughing is because I've struggled with that for years.
And, yes.
I mean, I have no problem giving compliments. Receiving them, I don't do well. And I mean, 2 years ago, I said, okay, I need to start saying thank you instead of kind of turning away from
no,
it.
No. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I just do things. And yes, I know if my wife's listening to this, yeah, she'll completely agree because that's what I do. I just say, well, you know what? I do things. And she'll say, no, you know what? God has given you the ability to do many things, and don't underestimate or downplay what God has given you.
What a wonderful wife.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah. Very supportive.
Yep, very.
Yeah. We're called to build each other up, not tear each other down.
Right.
And it sounds like she builds you up, and that's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
It is.
And you built her up too?
I do.
That's wonderful.
I was just going to just put in a quote that was really good that I heard, and it says, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
Oh, I like that. That is so good.
Say that again.
Say that again.
Okay. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And I think one of the most deceptive forms of humility is just thinking, I'm really horrible at this. I'm really not that good at this. I'm not this and I'm not that. And the key point about that is who am I still focused on?
Me.
Yeah. That's the biggest problem with pride is me. I. And so rather than doing that, we are called to just be other-centered, not self-centered. And as I'm other-centered, I'm not thinking about how horrible I am at something, because most people will think that the person that talks the most and always thinks that their opinion is the most important is the most prideful. But it also goes to the other extreme of people that are really shy. That would be the last thing that they would think is, if I was so shy that I thought, you know, I'm so worried about what everybody else is going to think about me. I'm still at the forefront of my mind at that moment, and you may benefit from something that God has taught me. And by me not sharing, by me being shy, I may not realize, it goes under the radar, that it's still my pride, and I'm still so worried about me that I'm not loving you well. And to love you well requires me to think about you above myself.
That's very good, Tiana. It's funny because when we were going to go on the air today, Tiana really didn't want to go on the air, you know. And then I said, you know, somebody might want to hear something you have to share.
Right.
And hasn't it been wonderful, you know, what both of these two have shared? And you too, Roland. I just thank you all
thank
so
you.
Much for being on the show. Hey, he said, thank you.
That was a good 1, 2, 3. Oh, I did it.
Your wife would be so proud of you right
we're
now.
We're practicing the things that
yes.
we preach.
Yes. Isn't that good? So I just want to say in closing that it has been the biggest blessing of my life to have my daughter on the show with me. She didn't want to come on, and I'm so glad she did, and I'm sure you're thankful she did too. Daniel Mastro, I cannot get this name straight. Daniel Mastro Leonardo. Mastro Leonardo. I'll get it. Mastro Leonardo.
Call me Mr. M.
Yeah, Mr. M. Anyway. And Roland Wiley have joined us, and it's been a wonderful day. And Tiana, on the way in, you know, I looked at her and I just smiled. She goes, what, Mom? What? And I said, you know what, honey? I just feel so blessed anytime that we're together. It just feels so good. You know, she's she's getting older, you know, when your kids become adults and everything, you know, they don't want to spend as much time with you because they don't have to, because we don't have to drive them anywhere and they don't need our money anymore because they got their own. So, you know, it's really that when they want to be with you, they will be with you. And it's wonderful when I can spend time with my daughter or my son. And I just love it. So I just feel blessed. So thank you very much for joining today. This is the Sue Free Show. And until next week, have a blessed day and realize and know that you are forgiven. Just look up, ask for forgiveness, and you are forgiven. Amen.
Child, you're forgiven and love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.